Wesley, what about the RUSs?
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Ever and Ever for March 22nd, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. I can see her. Co-host of Unusual Size, Ashley. That sounded weird. As soon as I said it, that sounded weird. It was better in my head. It was actually wasn't that good in my head either.
Hey, Bernie, why the long face?
I have to, I got to do a little bit of recovery on my titles for Ashley coming up this week. Okay, warning to everybody. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody.
You survived. I survived. We all survived.
Yeah, it's a word. Made it through the week. I had my first full night of sleep last night in, I'm not kidding, probably 2 months. I've always said that being able to sleep is my superpower, and it disappeared. I ran into some kryptonite somewhere, bud. It has been a stressful couple of months, man. And had my first full night of sleep, so I feel great.
Yeah, I thought you loaded yourself up with melatonin or something, because whenever I rolled over, you were actually asleep. Whereas for, I don't know how long it's been, every time I like wake up, just long enough to roll over, reposition, whatever, you're always awake.
Yeah.
And I've been worried about you. So I was so glad that you actually got some sleep last night. Are you feeling rested?
I'm feeling very rested. I did not have melatonin, by the way. Did you know melatonin is not legal in the UK?
Or, yeah, it's not legally sold or something.
You cannot buy it here. But people travel to the UK all the time with melatonin. I don't actually know what the status of it is. Like, I just know you cannot buy it here. Melatonin is like a, what would you call it? Homeopathic method of like, you know?
It's some sort of like vitamin or supplement thing. But basically, you take it before bed. It's usually in like
herbal
gummy form
is
or something.
Herbal?
And it knocks you out.
I think it's herbal.
It's the herbs. But I've never really liked taking it, because while I do sleep, I get
crazy.
This weird sensation of like when I need to wake up, it's like you have to swim for the surface. And you get this like resistance to waking up. And then when I wake up, I feel groggy and gross. And while I'm asleep, I have the weirdest dreams that I don't feel like I'm actually getting proper rest.
Maybe you're explaining why it's not legal here. All right. Well, we have to cover a lot of things today for Follow-Up Friday. So it's going to be a jam-packed, super fast episode today. Before we start, I do want to say thank you to Jim L. for making this episode ad-free for the rest of our listeners.
Thanks, Jim.
Sponsorship does not equal endorsement. All right. Jumping into Follow-Up Friday. Do you mind if I go back on a couple things real quick?
Not take us back.
First thing is, we did talk this week about not yucking people's yums.
Yes.
I don't want to put a yuck in anyone's yum. Did I say it right? and a couple weeks ago, I did say that I had seen the movie Spaceman, and it really wasn't my thing, and I was looking forward to it, and it was kind of disappointing. But I do like low-budget, mid-budget sci-fi, and I went back to check on it to see how it's doing. And I did see in the movie's subreddit on Reddit, publicly traded Reddit, by the way.
Right.
We'll talk about
IPO,
that next week.
Wow.
Yeah, let's talk about that next week. I did see that it has found its audience, which makes me happy. There are a lot of people who found it, and it seems to be people who have had some grief-full event in their life, which was very impactful on them. This movie really spoke to them. And I'm glad that people who have had that experience have now found something that speaks to them.
And something that really resonates. That's great.
And I'm always happy when somebody does an artistic move and it pays off and people can find it. You know, I'm happy about that. The other thing we're talking about is we talked about Google stopped offering map data for people who were nearby a crime. And I did say that somebody in the subreddit did say they were law enforcement, but I didn't really have a way to verify that. That person was great. They reached back out to me and said, I'd be happy to do that. I'd be happy to, show you my credentials or whatever. How can we do that? But at the same time, I then had a friend that I've known for,
decades,
15 years, probably. She was on the forums way back in the day, the early original Rooster Teeth forums. And so I know her personally, and I know she was in law enforcement, and she talked a little bit about the experience. I'm going to use some generalities here. She said, yes, it does happen, or did happen, and that it did require a search warrant, which required submitting the crime that was under investigation, the probable cause for it, and then even the officer had to go through explaining their training, experience, and knowledge to show why they were requesting this.
All right.
And that Google could often come back and reject the claims, saying like the X radius that you need people's location data from, it's too voluminous. I hope I'm saying that right. It's too broad, basically.
Too broad, yeah.
So they could come back and they could say, no, we're not doing that.
Interesting. Well, I know, you know what we can do is we can put the link from our, the post in the subreddit, in the link dump, if you want to read what that process looked like from that person's submission, because it sounds very similar.
That was a DM. We probably can't put that.
No. Not the DM. I mean the one that someone posted in our subreddit.
Oh, sure. Yeah, as long as you know you understand that it does match what I've heard, but from a source that I have verified, but we haven't necessarily verified that source, although they seem very trustworthy.
Yes, and it is worth noting as well that Google did change their Google Maps data, so it no longer... basically, it no longer saves it on their system. It started saving it on phones instead so that they couldn't fill the warrants, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not a thing anymore, although it is, you know, maybe the kind of thing that's worth consideration as we talk about things like the Apple Department of Justice lawsuit.
Which we'll talk about after Follow-Up Friday. Do you have anything else for Follow-Up Friday? Because I got a couple more things.
Really quickly, we forgot to congratulate everyone on making it to spring.
Congratulations on making it to spring, everybody.
We just passed the spring equinox, and which is halfway between the shortest day and the longest day.
Listen.
And officially begins a spring. I don't care what the hedgehogs or whatever say.
So it's not the solstice. It's the equinox, which is like a halfway point to a real thing. It feels like to me. Like, is there something that's halfway between an equinox and a solstice? How far are we going to divide this down?
You know what? If you're going to ask that, there probably is, yes.
Yeah, there probably is. Go back in our pagan rituals and find something the old tomes.
But it is very exciting. So spring is officially here. We also talked about the baby lambs that are going to be imminent in our area, and they're starting to arrive. So we've got some neighbor lambs. We have neighbor sheep, and they some of their babies are starting to arrive. And I gotta say, when you see these tiny little lambs bouncing around like puppies in the pasture, just playing and being ridiculous and being so sweet and cute and soft, I don't know.
They literally jump. Yeah, like bouncing, I don't know babies.
Where this like total indoor nerd person learned to love baby outdoor sheep, but oh my God, am I there.
And occasionally they go, bleh. Another follow-up. I went back and listened to some of the episodes for topics, and my Al Pacino impression sounds it's so much more like Christian Bale doing Batman than it is like The Godfather. It's like, I knew it was you, Fredo. So embarrassing. While we're on the topic of movies, though, another follow-up, a Beetlejuice teaser trailer came out, just happened to come out the day we were talking about.
No, I think I know why this is. It was already in our mind. This is that same, it turns out what we were referring to yesterday, this is another follow-up, this is great. I was talking about when you see something and you see more things like it, it's the Bader Mein Kampf. And the reason that the Beetlejuice trailer just came out and we're like, oh my God, I was just thinking about this, is because just prior to that, they released these like first look images.
Oh.
So it was already on our mind. It was already in our consciousness.
So you're saying we fell prey to the media cycle without even realizing that we were part of it.
Yeah, bro, we're part of the hype cycle.
Interesting. What's the syndrome called, you said?
Bader Mein Kampf.
Let me see if I can say that as Al Pacino. Bader Mein Kampf! Perfect. Nailed it. It's like he's in the room with us. Hoo-ah! that one actually sounds okay. So they put out the Beetlejuice teaser trailer, and Ashley, we were talking about the sequel to Dude, Where's My Car being called, seriously, Dude, Where's My Car? This one has a great sequel name as well. Do you know?
It's Beetlejuice.
Oh, you did know. You saw it. Okay.
I did know, yes.
So did you watch the trailer, the teaser trailer?
No, I've seen the first look images, but I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Okay. This is a really specific thing for trailers. There used to be, for a long time, I think it started in the 90s, where they would do misdirect trailers. The most common example that comes to mind is during the hype for the Star Wars prequels, there was an Austin Powers movie that came out, and there was a trailer that very clearly looked like a Star Wars trailer, but when the chair turned around that was supposed to be the Emperor, it was Dr. Evil, and it was a big misdirect. It's like, oh, this is an Austin Powers trailer instead. And I feel like the Beetlejuice trailer leans into that, because Winona Ryder doesn't appear until way later in the trailer. And then Catherine O'Hara right at the end, they were in the first movie. And then Beetlejuice, spoiler, appears at the end of the trailer. And it feels like it's supposed to be tonally a little bit different, maybe even like a horror movie or something. And then you realize it's Beetlejuice at the end. I feel like that shouldn't exist in the modern era because 90% of trailers are watched on YouTube, where I have literally clicked on Beetlejuice teaser trailer, March 2024, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't have the misdirect when you've got the title of the file playing in front of you.
Right. Like it's almost like a bygone era.
Yeah.
Like that was a thing that you could get away with that now, just the way things are distributed, you can't. It's not the surprise that it used to be.
Right. They don't, when you're in a movie theater, they just show you the trailer and you don't know what it is until they tell you what it is, you know?
I should point out, Bernie, that movie theaters do still exist and there are going to be people who are going to sit down, not seeking out a Beetlejuice trailer. They're going to sit down to watch Dune 2 or something. And that will happen. And then maybe they will be surprised because they have not sought out the Beetlejuice trailer. So this marketing isn't for you. It's for them.
Okay. Not everything's for me. Yeah. But I was going to say, I think a lot of people watch their trailers online. I think 90%.
I think people do too. I love viewership. Trailers.
Yeah. Comes from those sources. And while we're talking about Beetlejuice, this reminds me of, especially because it's all Beetlejuice. If for some reason you don't know how that works, when you say Beetlejuice's name three times, he appears. And Beetlejuice is like this,
like
what?
Trickster, prankster. Tricky.
He's like a no good Nick. he's like an afterlife prankster, like an imp. I don't really know what he is, but he appears when you say his name three times. And Community, the television show, did one of the best bits of all time, which you got to give props for.
This was like a multi-season joke.
Yeah, it was seasons 1, 2, and 3, where in the first season, they said the name Beetlejuice. In the second season, in some episode, they said Beetlejuice again. And then the third time they said it, over the course of 3 years, when it's set on screen the third time, a guy in a Beetlejuice costume walks by in the background.
That's a great bit. Do you think they knew? How far out do you think they planned it? Was it after the second time they said Beetlejuice and they're like, okay, next time we say Beetlejuice, we have to do a thing? Or if it was when they were writing the third one, they were like, I wonder if we've said this before, and then went back and checked the transcripts or the scripts and were like, you guys,
when are you ever going to mention Beetlejuice in like the mid-2000s unless you're a Beetlejuice fan? So I would imagine probably after the first one, they were like, oh, we got a chance to do a really funny joke
here. Well, so far, we've said it enough to summon an entire Beetlejuice army.
But actually, we're victims of the media cycle.
So here's so Bernie, here's my question to you.
Yeah.
In the trailer, how many times did they say Beetlejuice before he appeared?
I don't think they said it at all. I don't think in the trailer they said it. In fact, I don't know if there's any dialogue until Beetlejuice says something. I don't recall.
Well, that's a missed opportunity.
I feel like I've said it too many times. I got to watch my back now. Right here. All right.
So
let's talk about modern stuff. Let's talk about current events, Ashley.
Yes. So the Department of Justice has lodged a lawsuit against Apple for monopolistic behavior. They are alleging that Apple is basically using its ecosystem to stifle competition. And what's really interesting about that to me, Bernie, is this sent me down a couple of rabbit holes because I was curious like what that meant. I didn't know that Apple was so dominant in terms of ecosystem. And so I looked this up. This is just from the Wikipedia article for the usage share of operating systems. Now, for smartphones and mobile devices, actually, Apple iOS has 29.3% of the market share.
Oh, so let's call it 30%.
30%. And yeah. Android has essentially the other 70%.
Yeah, and they're targeting Apple. This is interesting to me.
Well, it makes sense to some degree because I guess the difference being that Apple, that iOS, that is one company. Whereas Android, while it is Google's operating system, could apply to Samsung or HTC or any of a number of other phone providers because Google doesn't... I mean, I guess they do have their own, like the Google Pixel and stuff like that, but they're not the only phone provider using their operating system. Whereas if it is, if it's iOS, it's iPhone, and that means that it's an Apple product.
And the App Store and everything. Is there an Android-based App Store besides Google Play? Besides the Play Store?
No, but...
By the way, worst name ever.
The Google Play Store? Yeah.
Just the Play Store.
I believe that Android does a lot more sideloading access, so you can go and you can download apps outside the App Store. And that's actually an interesting thing that's happening in the EU at the moment, is the EU just passed a ruling that these, like iOS is going to have to allow app makers to, or they're going to have to allow Apple to let people download apps outside the App Store.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about that.
Side loading, essentially.
I won't do it personally.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just talking about anti-cheat software on PC that affects kernel level access of the CPU. You know, I like trusting Apple in that regard. How do you feel?
Yeah, I agree. I have kind of complicated feelings about this whole thing, in that I have grown to like Apple's walled garden approach because I have a lot of eroded trust in third-party apps.
Wow, that's damning.
And while sometimes that has still happened in Apple's ecosystem, things like Uber managed to find a way to continue tracking user data even if you deleted the Uber app off of your iPhone. And
wait, what?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. But it was a...
That's gross.
Apple found out about it. I'm sure they closed the loophole, and they gave Uber a slap on the wrist, but they didn't exactly ban them from the store, because that would have gotten backlash from people, because it would have been an inconvenience, Bernie. And what right. you don't want to do is inconvenience us.
No, path of least resistance, man.
Similarly, TikTok, you know, they were like, oh, we can just copy the clipboard and send it off. All right.
Other things.
You know, and that's another loophole that then Apple had to close. But I don't know how many other loopholes we'll have to deal with if we just end up with a more or less open ecosystem. Apple has been compromised a lot less than Android. And I feel like the walled garden is a big part of the reason for that.
Sounds like what you're describing is you prefer the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Sort of. It's the devil I chose.
Right. Like, you made the choice to choose Apple, and you know that at the very least, everything that they're doing runs through their moral center. Is that a good way to say
which,
that?
Which, you know, which may not be all that moral, but at the very least, they have an interest in protecting their users so that their users stay their users.
And they do stay their users. I mean, it's a walled garden with very high walls. Like, it's not just keeping things out, it's also keeping you in. It's a prison with flowers and blue text messages.
Yeah, but and the blue text messages is one of the things that I think the Department of Justice is harping on the most.
Yeah.
And because that's something that, like, we all, you know, we don't know the tech underpinning the whole thing, but we're like, oh yeah, remember all the jokes we always made about you start a group chat, and then as soon as someone turns the whole thing green, they're getting booted because that's just too much of an inconvenience.
People will stop talking to you.
Yeah.
They literally will boot you from a group chat because it ruins everyone else's experience.
Yeah. I have advice for that for everybody. Install WhatsApp. Trust Facebook instead.
Yeah. I mean, most people outside of the US use that anyway, and it has most of the features of iMessage. It's just that iMessage users are very stubborn and won't leave. If I'm being 100% honest, I have made several attempts to leave that walled garden of iOS. And the reason why I felt like I was unsuccessful was because of iMessage and the blue messages. I'm perfectly honest, you know? And so that would be something where I have been affected by, look at me, man, I'm affected by anti-competitive practices and by the media cycle. What do I have left, Ashley? What do I have left?
And the cats.
Are these even my thoughts?
This is just what they're telling me.
So, Madam Forewoman of the jury, in the case of the United States versus Apple, how do you find?
Oh, let me check my phone.
I don't know. With only 30% market share, antitrust feels like a wild thing to be swinging against Apple. You know, I do have complaints about the rake that they take, but I've got that complaint against every platform, Amazon and Twitch, Google and YouTube.
Yeah, I don't think that's not isolated to Apple. 30% just to distribute other people's products seems steep to me.
Here's a good example. We're looking at Patreon lately. Patreon's a 12% rake plus credit card fees, which are like another 2 to 3 on top of that. That's low enough, path of least resistance. That's low enough for me to go, look, I don't want to build out a credit card billing system. And more importantly, I don't want to store people's credit cards and have that. That's a good way to do that. And just for full disclosure as well, one of the most attractive things to online services is whether or not people have already put their credit cards into that system and trust it. If you make a whole new system, it's really hard to get people to trust putting their credit card into it, even in this day and age. And that's why people use stuff like, even on checkouts now, Apple Pay, which is another rake.
Or Amazon Pay, yeah, or Google Pay, or and you know, any of those where you've already given them your stuff.
I believe it's in the lawsuit as well. One of the complaints is they won't let third-party wallets work on an iPhone as well. So this is that market share for the OS is one thing, market share for the hardware is another thing, but you combine the two and then you got a problem on your hands. All right, anything else today? Any other follow-ups? Any other comments about Apple or current events going on out there?
No, but I'll be very curious to think. I might make this the question on Spotify today because I'm curious what other people have to think about this. I'm not an expert. I'm interested in this. I'm just a normal guy.
Just a curious person. All right. Well, I will very rarely plug my own personal social medias.
Media.
But at Bernie on Instagram and on X. I won't post on X, but it's at Bernie on pretty much everything. I will be posting this weekend so many videos of lambs in Scotland. If you're interested in that, that's where it's going to be. We're not going to put that on the Morning Somewhere Instagram, which is...
I might steal one for the Morning Somewhere Instagram, which is Morning Somewhere.
At Morning Somewhere. So if you want to see that stuff, those are your destinations this weekend.
I tell you what, while we're promoting socials, yo, if you like this podcast, make sure you drop us a follow.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Leave it like and subscribe, bro. Like and subscribe. Click the bell.
All right. Well, that does it for us this week, ending March 22nd, 2024. We will be back to talk to you on Monday. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.